Blog Talk Radio.
Following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Welcome to Logicast.
Logicast. My name is Jared Smith, and I am your host, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, the beautiful, amazing, incredible Darby Eleanor Macy. Logicast is a weekly podcast that airs every Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on blogtalkradio.com/logicast. to listen to previous episodes, or find us at facebook.com/logicast. We discuss issues like politics, history, philosophy, religion, science, skepticism, and every now and then economics. So, Darby, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
Perfect. Perfect. So I bought a new desk. I put together a new computer. I'm so excited about tonight's sort of episode, just because I get to experience my wondrous setup for the first time.
Nice.
So, do you and I have to ask, because we don't really talk about your personal life much on the show, do you and your husband ever argue about, like, how to lay out a room, or is that just something that happens in my relationship?
No, we don't have laying out of the room arguments usually. I can't say we've ever had one of those. Why?
Well, do you get what you want and he just doesn't complain? Is that how that works, or you just agree?
No.
I mean,
we have sort of a division of labor along certain lines. Like if anything medical happens, I handle that. He does things like tear down and construction. And when it comes to layout of rooms, he actually feels like, I don't really know what to do. What should you do? What do you think we should do? So that's usually what happens. And because I don't really, like, I am a pragmatic person when it comes to that stuff, a utilitarian. So I usually try to do what works best for everybody.
What is he? Is he just sort of like a pacifist? I mean, is he like, eh? This is just not worth the argument, even if I disagree. Like, it's just not worth.
No. If he disagrees, then he says something. No. And the thing is, that's not something that either of us cares that much about, just because I guess we're not that far apart usually to start with. We're both sort of utilitarian, right? So if we're both making an attempt to do utilitarian, then we don't have much to argue about. And if one person goes, no, I really want this there, the other one, since neither of us is, like, into feng shui or, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't. That's never been a thing we've had fights about.
Right.
Although it's weird because he doesn't think he's good at that stuff, but he actually really is. Like, he's the one that designed by him, even though he has no, like, he designed our upstairs master suite that he knocked out a bunch of crap to make, and I couldn't even see how he could have done it because it didn't make any sense to me spatially, but he's really good with spatial relationships and stuff. So anyway,
imagine that, a man who is good with spatial relationships. Like, it's never happened in the history of forever, you know. I mean, it's kind of like what men are supposed to be good at, right? I mean, that's our whole thing.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, you didn't know that? There's a book I want you to read. I don't know if I've ever told you about it. It's called Moonwalking with Einstein, and it deals with memory and how to. So what this guy does is he actually goes to, like, the memory championship of the world, you know, and he follows the champions around, or, like, the best, you know, sort of rememberers, and yeah, like, he learns how they do things. That book changed my life in terms of, you know, people always ask, like, how do you remember that? And I always sort of act in, like, a confused way. Like, I'm like, I don't know, I just remember it. But that's complete and total bullshit. I remember it because I learned this process through that book. It was an amazing book. I mean,
well, I'll read it and I'll give it to Larry. But Larry thinks his memory is poor. I have always had a brain for facts that other people forget for some reason. Like, I'm the one that gets called and says, who was so-and-so dating in ninth grade, and I'll remember. Like, I can tell you the lead singer of the band Cinderella, even though I wasn't that fond of him. Like, I have good memories for that kind of stuff. Larry says he does not, and then he uses the fact that he had a brain hemorrhage to excuse whatever he forgot.
Oh,
his neurologist has given him, I know,
yeah.
His neurologist totally said he could use that for life, and I'm like, dude.
Fucking
did you
Larry.
Just say that?
Like, he can literally use that in any argument. Any
I
argument
know.
You two ever have as a couple, he could be like, well, you know, I had a fucking brain hemorrhage. Like, I'm sorry, I don't remember
right.
that you told me to take the
yeah,
trash
right.
out. You
know? He
that's
doesn't pull
so
it very often, I have to say, for him. No, yep.
God, what a dick. You know, because the majority of men, we don't get to use that excuse. You know what I mean? So the fact that he does, it's just incredibly unfair, I got to tell you. I mean,
terrible.
Like,
he honestly never pulled
remember,
it out. I don't even remember the last time I heard it.
Well, he could. That's the thing. Like, he's sitting there. It's like a trump card, right? Like, I mean, he's just holding on to it for a really important situation. Like, he gets so busy and he forgets the anniversary. And you're like, well, why did you forget the anniversary, Larry? And he goes, I had a brain hemorrhage. Of course I forgot the anniversary. You know,
I'll
it's just
have
such...
you know that I am the one that forgets our anniversary. He never forgets. I was actually out of town on our very first anniversary, and I forgot to even call him on our anniversary, but he's never forgotten.
Wow, you're a real fucking jerk, aren't you? Like, how do you forget your anniversary?
I don't care that much about that stuff, I guess. Like,
you didn't have a
you know,
brain hemorrhage,
I
just a jerk.
I didn't, but it has to be something that I, like, either care, like, not that I don't care.
No, something you either care about or...
No, like, an anniversary is... No, I mean, it has to be something that affects me every day or that I... Like, we were... Before we got married, we were together. Like, it didn't change, you know? It didn't change that much because we were already together and chose each other and stuff. So, it was a big, expensive thing that we did, and I'm not sorry, but, like, it... You know what I mean? It doesn't... I hate Valentine's Day. I don't give a shit. But, like, it's not a thing that I care about.
Yeah,
but
we
I
don't really
remember
about Valentine's
at least,
Day.
Either. So, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? I don't know if you know this, but you know my wife and I share an anniversary with Barack and Michelle Obama. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, October 3rd. Like, we had no idea. It wasn't planned that way. I mean, that just happened to be. I think it's October 3rd. That just happened to be the day that you know that we got married. And when we got home that night, I was scrolling through Facebook and, you know, Obama on his Facebook page, you know, whomever runs Obama's Facebook page basically posted that, you know, congratulations to Michelle and Barack. And I was like, how fucking cool is that? I told my wife, I was like, look, we share an anniversary with the Obamas, you know, which my wife, I don't know if she agrees with a lot of what Obama, and we talk about politics, but it's usually in like a very general sense, but she loves the shit out of Michelle Obama's, you know, whole like getting kids to eat healthy thing. You know, because my wife's really into fitness, stuff like that. So that's, you know, it's kind of a big deal for her that, you know, we're trying to help kids not be fat. So, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So we share that. That's actually how I remember it, by the way, because I'm like, oh, shit. It is coming up. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, actually, to be honest, it's going to be our second year this year. So she usually reminds me that, hey, you know, this is kind of coming up. And I'm like, yeah, okay. What do you want to do? You know, because I don't care. I mean, I'm just like, whatever makes you happy, I'm fine with. I mean, you know, I'm good doing pretty much whatever. Anyway, okay, enough with the personal bullshit. So, Sandra Bland, let's just go ahead and talk about the topic of tonight's show, Sandra Bland and the ongoing problem of police brutality. I have my own opinions about this, and you and I talked about them pre-show. But I didn't, you told me that you had watched the entire 52-minute video. So,
I did. I watched all of it.
So I want you to kind of walk me through the chronology of the video. And for those of you who are completely and totally out of the, basically you haven't been paying attention to anything with regard to the media, Sandra Bland was a woman who was pulled over in Texas. And, you know, she was demanded, it was demanded that she get out of her car by this officer. She got out of her car, and then there are allegations of police brutality with regard to how he handled the situation. And, you know, then while she was in custody, she actually, according to them, committed suicide. And, you know, the suicide doesn't seem to make sense to a lot of people. You know, the arrest was terrible. The video that DPS put out was obviously edited. So, you know, so there's like a big scandal going on, right? I mean, you know, you kind of explain the video so that way we get some context.
I'm actually unclear on where they think the editing happened because I watched the whole thing.
On the what?
The editing.
The original video that they released, like, there were jumps in the time frame of the actual video, right? Like, so I'm talking about the initial one that they released, not what they released later, which included all of it.
Right, but people are even saying that there's a time loop in that one, but I think it is at one of the times when not much is happening, so I didn't actually see anything that looked suspicious in that way. I'm just saying I didn't notice anything like that in the 52-minute video.
Fair enough.
So there are a lot of clips clips going, and I don't, that doesn't mean there isn't anything in there. It just wasn't anything blatantly obvious. To me, there was enough that showed the officer was wrong. He was wrong on several levels, but I'll get to that in a minute. The clips, a lot of the clips you see are of her being arrested. So you don't even, you see the video that some guy was taking, and you can hear her thank him for taking video. Thank you for filming, she said, or thank you for recording. And the cop tries to tell him to leave. He said, you need to leave, you need to leave. And the guy says, I'm on public property. I don't, why do I have to leave? And then the cop gives up because, of course, the guy doesn't have to leave, and there's nothing illegal about filming a cop.
Not to interrupt you. So let's back up here. So why did he pull her over to begin with?
Okay, so I'll start at the beginning. It shows the beginning of the video shows the officer pulling someone else over, actually, and talking to the person about why he pulled them over, giving that person a warning about not having any proof of insurance, and then asking that person a couple questions about what they were doing in a conversational kind of way. Although it was a little unnecessary, I think he was, it sounded to me a little bit like he was trying to make conversation with that person. And then it shows the person driving away. And then it shows him pulling out, and then very shortly after, what happened was he came up on Sandra's car quickly, and she pulled over to the next lane. She says, and I think she's right, she was trying to get out of his way because he actually looked like he might be going somewhere, even though his lights are on. Yet. She failed to signal a lane change. That was the reason that he said he pulled her over. And as she hadn't done anything else, that was the only reason to pull someone over. Now, whether or not, I guess in Texas, and I'm not sure if this is true in every state, you can pull someone over for that. I would have to look up if there are any states where that's a secondary thing, because it's really not something that usually people get pulled over for usually. Right? Especially if they're trying to get out of the way of a cop car. So that is what he said he pulled her over for, failing to signal when she changed lanes, when he ran up behind her rather briskly and she moved over. So it shows him walking up to the, unlike the other person, he walks up to the passenger side door, and she is exasperated at being pulled over. Now, I can't imagine why. Anyone ever exasperated at being pulled over? Oh, anyway. He says immediately.
Well, the go-to argument for that is, well, if you have nothing to hide, there's no reason to be nervous.
That's right. But she wasn't nervous. And that's interesting that you use that word. I don't know if you saw the post where a bunch of cops were commenting on this. They used that word a lot. Oh, boy. They used that word a lot. Do you know why? Because nervous is one of those words that you can use to say you had probable cause to do something.
Right.
I'll get to that in a second. He says, you seem irritated. So here's the first thing he says to her. Are you okay? And he says it like that. And you can hear her say, I'm fine. I'm fine. But she's annoyed, right?
Right.
So he says, can I have her license and registration? And then he asks her how long she's been in Texas. She answers very brief, I got here yesterday, he said. Out-of-state plates. She'd come to Texas for a new job. So
right.
He pulled her over and then immediately says, are you okay? Now, anybody who understands social context at all can tell you that his I bet you anything, if somebody ran his voice through a thing, you can tell that there are, he's irritated that she's irritated. And I stand by that. That it was not, are you okay? You know, if you watch the Swedish cops subduing that guy in the New York subway, and they said, are you okay? Are you injured?
Right. I mean, their approach and, their approach and tone
very different. So his tone is immediate.
Both are extremely
respect,
different. Then. Right.
Yeah, his tone is immediate, respect my authority. Are you okay?
Right.
And she says yes. Now, she didn't say, she's obviously
like
irritated.
Expecting her to say yes, not because he actually wanted her to tell him whether she was or wasn't.
That's right. And expecting her to deal with her attitude. Because I think what he was sensing right then was attitude, and this guy doesn't like attitude, Jared. That's where the crux of his problem is. He wanted to be respected. So he said, and this may sound like conjecture at this point, but you see, when you see what happens in this whole video, it's a little hard to argue with this. So he asked for a license and registration. She gives it to him. He said, and then she doesn't, she hands him her other stuff and doesn't give him her license. Can I have your driver's license? Didn't I give it to you? No. So there's already a little bit of like, you know, the annoyance level in this conversation is simmering a little bit here. So he goes, give me a few minutes, and he walks back to his car. And I'm sure runs her plates and makes sure there's no warrant out for her arrest and everything. Now, the cops on this message board and several apologists for police behavior have said he was going to let her off with a warning. There is no indication of that. Absolutely none. That is complete and total conjecture. He actually says later when he's reporting to his supervisor that he was going to tell her what was going on and what she had to do next, which is his job if he cites her for something. If you get off with a warning, she doesn't have to do anything next. Right?
Right.
So he goes back to his car, does all of his stuff. He comes back to the driver's side window and leans down and says, you seem irritated. Now, why does he care if she's irritated? It's not required for you to be happy about being pulled over for a traffic stop. It's really not. It's not required for you to be polite to police officers. It's not required for you to show them reverence. That's not legally required. And I'm really tired of listening to people go, if she would have just done this, everything would have been fine. So then she says, yes, now this is the part that really gets
I want to talk about that point for a moment. I want to focus on that for a moment. Me personally, when I'm pulled over and anytime a cop asks me where I'm going, I always say, what does that matter? Or it's none of your business. Because it's completely irrelevant as to whether, as to where I'm going. And I don't have to answer them and explain to them where I'm going and what I'm doing, because while it might be true that if I happen to be speeding or maybe, a license, my registration is out or I didn't use a blinker or whatever, those things have nothing to do with where I'm going. It's not illegal to drive on roads, assuming that you have the proper license. It's not illegal to drive on roads. And I'm allowed to go wherever the fuck I want to go. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the cop. And I always tell police officers that it doesn't matter where I'm going. And I ended at that.
The thing is, if you get a cop that has an attitude and doesn't like yours, that's going to cause you problems. Now, the point is, it should not cause you problems. That is what's wrong here.
I mean, I'm also, a middle-class white guy.
That's right.
My experience.
And that makes a difference.
Right, are probably different, are definitely different for sure. But I just want people to understand that they are under no obligation to tell a cop where they're going. And, if the cop starts pressing you about where you're going, you're under no legal requirement to actually answer him. I mean.
No, or any other personal information that they are trying to get out of you.
Correct.
You're not. Now, the thing about Sandra Bland, and I'll back up just a little bit here, is that she had posted quite a few videos defending people who are, are talking about this problem with police overreach and police brutality. She was well aware of what was going on there. Now, I suspect that she thought she was being profiled, and she probably was. That would not be an unreasonable assumption to make. It is a little bit ridiculous to pull somebody over for failing to signal when you run up behind them in a cop car. And then it's really weird because, okay, so here's the next thing that happens. She answers his question directly. Why are you irritated? She says, I'm irritated because I got pulled over for not doing anything. I was trying to get out of your way. I thought you were, you know, going somewhere else or whatever. So I pulled over, and you immediately pulled me over and ticket me for doing that, right? She's annoyed that that happened. She answered his question concisely. He did not like that at all. So the next thing he does, you can tell by his body language, he is irritated. And he says, can you put out that cigarette, please? And she said, why should I put my cigarette out? I'm in my car. This is my car. And that's when he loses control of the situation. This guy's on desk duty not right now, by the way. So it's not just me that thinks this. He said, step out of the car right now, ma'am. Now, what she probably didn't know, I'm guessing this, this is me guessing, everyone who's listening, I didn't know this, and I'm not sure that she did either. He can tell her to get out of the car at any time. This is true as a federal thing because of a Supreme Court decision that has generally been interpreted to mean that a cop can ask you to exit your vehicle for no reason at all during a traffic stop. I'm not sure she thought that was true because her reaction is like, what the hell, right? I didn't actually know that either because I've heard the opposite thing. She says, why do you want me to get out of the car? And he says, step out of the car right now. I'm giving you a lawful order. And then he says, he grabs his taser and says, I'll light you up. Now,
it's almost like he's in an action movie, right? Not that he's trying to, you know, professionally
like
enforce the law. I mean,
that's right. And his lie that he tells 21 minutes into the video is really gross if you, in light of that behavior. But I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that, I mean, if I treated a person that I'm responsible for serving in that manner, I would lose my job. And understandably so, I would lose my job. Now I recognize that it's obviously a much different in context. And, you know, we always have to give this stupid fucking disclaimer anytime we talk about police officers about how dangerous their job is. And, you know, understandably. But at the same time, it's a reason for you to treat people like they're criminals. Number one. Number two, there's also no reason to act like a fucking dick. And if you can't control your emotions, then you're the last person who should have a badge and a gun.
That is correct. And also, if you think that you deserve deference and reverence and respect because you're the one with the badge and the gun, you shouldn't be doing that job. Her attitude was none of his business. She was doing exactly as she was asked to do until she was told to get out of her car.
That's right.
Then she said the magic words. This is another major screw up on his part. Why am I being detained? And as many people know, if a cop is going to detain you, or people know to ask, am I being detained, at things like routine DUI stops or whatever, they can say whatever they want to try to get you to stay there, but they can't detain you unless they're going to arrest you, correct?
That's not entirely true, no.
Go ahead.
Let me explain the way the law works. So a police officer can detain you while they conduct an investigation. Now they have to, later on in court, they would have to prove that they had reasonable suspicion,
right,
to conduct an investigation.
If they're going to search your vehicle or something, right. They have probable cause,
you know,
to search your vehicle.
Yeah. The problem, the issue with probable cause though is that, it's not completely ambiguous, but enough to where it is often allowed, and especially with the way that we sort of idolize cops in this country, they're given a lot of latitude in terms of what they actually do with regard to how they perceive probable cause. So,
but the thing is, he got really angry that she answered his question and was irritated that he pulled her over and wasn't showing him the proper respect. So he said, step out of the car, step out of the car, step out, I'm going to wake you up. And then he drags her out of the car. And at that point, she starts a long string of profanity, calling him a pussy, insulting him, saying, oh, you think you're a big man, dragging a female out of the car. This is where people start to get really like, well, she was asking for it. This whole thing was unnecessary. And let me just skip ahead a little bit. No, I'm going to finish here. So here's what happens. He forcibly drags her out of the car. And then, and it's a little hard to argue with this, he maneuvers her so that she's out of the range of the dash cam. So you can't see what's happening anymore. You can only hear what's happening. The reason this bums me out, aside from the fact that it's hard to imagine that that was not entirely on purpose, is that at some point she said, you just slammed my head into the ground, and nobody could see that. He had at this point called for backup because this woman is not respecting him, and that therefore you need backup. And this woman cop shows up. This guy is trying to cover his ass in the very first second she gets there. You saw everything. He says, you saw everything. And you can hear Sandra Bland saying, no, you didn't. You just got here. You didn't see anything leading up to this. She's right. She says, you just hit my head on the concrete or on the pavement. I don't remember exactly how she put it. And she said, I can't hear you. And then she says, I can't feel my right arm. The woman cop immediately says, yes, you can. But no one tries to tell her that, like, no, we didn't hit your head on the ground. That's kind of crucial to me. So this guy immediately starts ass covering with the second cop, who is totally already assuming that he's right and this woman is wrong. I guess that's understandable. It's hard for me to understand, but okay. And then there's a long thing about, like, I can't, and then he says, stop moving. And she said, you have my hands cuffed. I have to move when you move. At one point when he's struggling with her around the car, he's telling her that she's being charged with resisting arrest. And this part makes me laugh a little bit, because how can you resist arrest when he hasn't established a reason to arrest her? It's like saying somebody calling you and saying, you're being fined for failing to pay your fine. What fine? The one you didn't pay, so we're charging you a fine. He was not at all clear about why she was being detained or what was going on. And then tells her she's resisting arrest. And she is livid. I mean, she is furious, and I can't really blame her. I can't.
Well, I mean, when you feel like you're being, when you're being violated, I mean, you know, and you're being assaulted, that's exactly the response that you would expect people to have. I mean,
that's right. This sort of perfect victim crap. It comes every time. If you look at the YouTube comments below this, it's really depressing. All these people are like, you do whatever the cop tells you to do. She complied with his request that he was allowed to ask her to do until the whole debacle was get out of the car, right? He is not required to ask her to not be irritated. He's not allowed to require her to put out her cigarette. Those are not, he just is in charge and she's just not respecting his guac. I mean, it's so fucking obvious. It is upsettingly obvious that that is what is happening here. And he knows it. And here's why you know he knows it. After this point, you hear some commotion, and I assume what has happened, and this is what really disturbed me. You can't hear Sandra anymore. She was swearing a blue streak and calling him a pussy, and you're a big man now, da-da-da-da. And then she goes kind of quiet, really quiet. And I find that disturbing because if they really hit her head and she really was having some issues from that, there was a really high point in the video where she says, "You just hit my head on the ground and I have epilepsy." And he says, "Good." And she says, "Good? Really? You really?"
Well, I mean, so, you know, maybe we shouldn't necessarily speculate on, I know where you're going with this because we talked about it earlier, and,
what I'm saying is the concerns that came up in my head watching this video. I'm not saying that this is what happened. The first thing I thought of was, why is she so quiet suddenly? So for this very long period of time, 15 minutes or so, you don't hear Sandra anymore. What you hear is this guy who gets back in his car and he calls his supervisor or whoever it is that he has to report to. And the story he tells was one of the most infuriating parts of this entire video.
Well, right. But I mean, but you wouldn't. Here's the thing. Like, I'm pretty sure that the dash cam is tied to a microphone on the cop. So, I mean, you wouldn't hear her saying anything because he wouldn't be on the outside of the cruiser, right?
Like, maybe, maybe his mic has very limited range. That's true. She was very loud, though. It's possible that his mic has a very limited range of picking.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you from experience that it does. I mean, he, you know, the dash cam is actually usually tied to the police officer's microphone. You know, they have a microphone, and you know, that's actually what it's tied to, as far as I know. So, you know, of course you wouldn't hear her saying anything, and you would only hear him, and that's the reason why you don't hear any feedback from outside. You only hear what's going on in a cop car, right?
So. Even in the background, you wouldn't hear it at all. She's right next to the car.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's screaming. Like, she probably realizes it's pointless to try to you know, she was an activist, so, I mean, she probably realizes at that point it's you know, it doesn't make any sense for her to start yelling at him while he's inside of his cop car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she may have done. And that's entirely possible. I'm just saying what my what occurred to me while I was watching it. I didn't assume anything, but that occurred to me. So he spends a really long time telling a story about what happened, and he tells overt lies to his, and I mean lies. He actually said, "I tried to calm her down. I tried to de-escalate the situation. I tried to go back to the car and tell her what was going to happen and what she needed to do next. And then I tried to de-escalate the situation," and she was waving her arms around and she was getting really upset. He didn't do any of that. He went back to the car and he asked her why she was irritated. He didn't give her any information about the citation he was giving. He didn't tell her what she needed to do next. He said, "Put out your cigarette and then get out of the car. I'm going to light you up." Is that a de-escalation? He used that word. His story was complete crap. And the thing that's almost embarrassing about it is, like, dude, you're being recorded. They're going to know that that's not what happened. It's obvious. And it was obvious to them. That's why he's on desk duty. His boss said that was inappropriate.
Well,
but
I mean,
story was infuriating.
I hate to play devil's advocate here. Like, if there's a charge against an officer, I mean, they're usually suspended with pay or they're put on, you know, desk duty, you know, until the investigation, you know, is concluded. I mean, like, that's pretty normal.
Does his boss say to the press that his behavior was inappropriate? Because that's what he said.
Well, sure. But I mean, but he's on, you know, he's on desk duty right now because they're starting an investigation. When they actually get to the point of the investigation where they decide that there's police misconduct, I guarantee you that he'll be suspended with pay. You know, I mean, it just, you know.
That makes no sense to me. Anyway, this whole story goes on.
Wait a second. What doesn't make any sense to you?
If it's been determined that you have engaged in police misconduct? Why are you continuing to be paid?
Well, hang on. That's what the investigation is for. I mean,
No, you just said if the investigation determined
that what I said was during the course of the investigation, it's very likely that if they suspect that he might have been guilty of police misconduct, they will put him on administrative leave with pay. But suspecting someone is not the same thing as saying that they're guilty. And, the entire justice system is supposed to be built around this idea that people are innocent until proven guilty.
No, that's true. I thought you were talking about after he's been, judged guilty of police misconduct.
Yeah, no, if he's judged guilty of police misconduct, I mean, chances are he's going to be fired. So, sadly, that's all that will happen to him.
Yeah. We're running. It's late already. Amazing. The thing is, by the end of this, the thing I was talking about today, I think it was New York Times. Somebody reported on a site that a bunch of cops were commenting on. There were quite a few cops that said, "I don't know why he didn't just move on." Like, I don't understand. That's great, I guess. But more of them said, it's almost like listening to William Lane Craig. They used the word, they didn't hear what he said. He never said nervous. He said she was irritated. And then she told him why. And if a couple cops, and there were a lot of people agreeing with the guy that said it, if the person was acting nervous, then, it's not out of bounds to assume that she was maybe had just committed a crime or was maybe the victim of a crime. And so that will give you, she wasn't acting nervous. And then this cop actually said, if she was acting nervous and he asked her why, and she gave him a non-answer. She didn't give him a non-answer. She gave him a direct, concise answer that was relevant to the question and answered the question. And he never said she was nervous. She didn't sound nervous. She sounded pissed.
Yeah, she did sound pretty pissed off. I mean, I give you that.
Yeah, so here's what happened. They get her in the car. You can hear them explaining to her what's going to happen next. By this time, the guy has calmed down, right? So he sounds reasonable. He says,
"Thank God,
this is what's happening right now." Yeah. He says, "We're taking you, you're being arrested on charges." I don't even remember what he said. I think he said assaulting an officer, because when he was manhandling out of the car, she kicked him. Telling his supervisor, she kicked me. And that he mentions that a lot. And then you can hear him saying, "Well, I'm not actually injured, or I don't need any medical attention. She didn't really assault me." But he's got to get that in there, And then you can hear him sort of making jokes and laughing some stuff off, because he's really,
it's almost like he's trying to prove his masculinity, right? By basically going, I'm not hurt or anything,
No, that's right. And the whole situation, he actually sounded to me like he had rewritten the situation, either in his head or just out loud, I don't know which. And then he was like, "Oh, haha, you know how these things go, of course I handled it. I tried to de-escalate. I did everything I could." That is a bullshit. You did not.
Maybe not by your standard, but maybe by his standard, that is how he de-escalates problems.
By escalating them?
By escalating them to the point where he has to actually, apply violence in order to prevent anything from moving forward. Problem is that if that is the way that he's done it, and he has continued to be employed as a police officer throughout this time, then it's quite obvious that maybe he shouldn't be a cop.
Yeah.
Throwing that out. I mean.
Yep. There's a thought. So, they pull off, and that's pretty much the end of the video. It's very long, as you know. I mean, I had a cop pull me over just for expired registration. This is one of the few cops that I have been pulled over by who is just a super nice guy. And, he was like, "Your registration is expired by like 8 months." I'm like, "What?" I mean, I was completely I wasn't angry at him. I was flabbergasted. And he said, I even called before I even came to your car to make sure that you hadn't just forgotten to put the sticker on there. And I'm like, wow, I'm really embarrassed. Like, that's inexcusable. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, he said he was sorry to me. And then he's like, you can, you know, you can pay this fine or you can, you know, contest this ticket. And I laughed at him. Sometimes I contest the ticket. My registration is grossly expired. And he laughed. He's really nice about it.
So let's
get to...
I hate to interrupt. We don't have much time. I don't want to segue. Let's get to the suicides, you know, part.
Okay. All right. Let's get to that part. All right. So what happened, she was taken to jail. Apparently, she had trouble posting bonds. She missed her first day of work at her new job. And the jail reported that she was dead 3 days later by self-inflicted asphyxiation with a trash bag. And why don't you talk about that for a minute, and then we'll talk about what the DA said about the autopsy report.
Look, you know, as a good skeptic, I mean, I don't – people ask me if I think it's possible. Yes. Am I suspicious of what has been said thus far by the entire, you know, police apparatus, law enforcement apparatus? Yes. Very skeptical. Very suspicious. Does not mean that I am necessarily concluding that she didn't commit suicide. I'm also not concluding that she did commit suicide. You know, basically the running argument, running opinion is that she used the liner of a trash can or a trash bag with a liner in it, to hang herself from the shower. You know, but I mean, the problem with that is that, like, if you look at Twitter right now, I mean, it is exploding with these conspiracy theories about how, like, her mugshot was taken after she was dead and the reasons behind it. I mean, it's just such conspiratorial thinking. We're like, we don't know yet, you know, until there's an independent investigation and an independent autopsy.
No.
You know, I mean,
we don't reserve
opinions, reserve conclusions until that happens. I mean...
Well, and as skeptics, we all should, but my concern was, and this happened after I heard I hit my head, right? Because as you probably know, and most people probably know, although not everybody, because I've talked to people about this, brain injuries can be really tricky. Concussions can be sneaky, anything else. It is really important if you have something go on with your head that you get checked out. Because you don't always know what is going on here. And if it's true that they hit her head on the cement and she really had problems with her hearing in one of her ears and feeling one of her arms, it's entirely possible that her head was injured, her brain was injured. I have seen nothing that said they ordered a CT for her or had anybody look over her. And that was their responsibility because she was in custody. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong about that. I hope they did have somebody look her over and make sure she didn't have a concussion. And if somebody really did hit her head against the cement, it's time for a CT, right? But given that the cop said, you know, she said, I can't hear, and the cop said, yes, you can, and then she said, I have epilepsy, and the other cop said, good, I seriously doubt that those people went back and called medical. I don't know if she complained any more about her head or if she even had any complaints about her head at that point. But my question is, and this is not my conclusion, this is my question. It never occurred to me, to be honest, that someone had, like, executed a hit on this woman in her jail cell. Never occurred to me. That sounds an awful, like, you know, as you were saying before, Occam's razor. You don't jump to the most complicated thing, especially when you're dealing with, you know, a cop like that. I can't imagine him executing a hit because he just doesn't seem like he has the chutzpah. But the point is,
even if he had the balls, he still wouldn't have a reason to do it. You know, I mean, it's much easier to doctor video than it is to actually kill someone, you know, under lockdown.
And then you also
have to
you have to deal with everybody else in there, the other people in the jail, all the people who work there. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. But what occurred to me immediately, and again, this is a question, not a conclusion. If nobody checked, it is entirely possible to die of something like a subarachnoid hemorrhage 3 days later after your head gets hit. That's not even that unusual.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. In terms of possibilities, like, the only two that are even remotely rational, number one is that she killed herself, that she did, in fact, take her own life. And number two is that I call it an accidental death, more like manslaughter, where, you know, there was a sort of brain hemorrhage that was a result of the trauma she faced during the, you know, police altercation.
That's right. And the thing is,
I think that it is about as likely that you know, that there was this murder that a lot of people are saying, you know, happens. That's about as likely as you know, as George W. Bush you know, leading a controlled demolition of the 9/11 towers. I mean, it's just
right. Absurd.
So many things.
Well, I don't think it's that unlikely, but it's pretty unlikely.
But, you know, well, yeah. You know what I'm saying. I mean, like, it's analogous in the sense that both are not necessarily equally unlikely, but ridiculously unlikely.
Yes. And here's the thing about that too, though. It has to be said that if your brain is compromised and you're losing blood to an important part of your brain, or your brain is swelling in a certain place, there's no reason to think that that wouldn't cause you to do things you wouldn't otherwise do, include hanging yourself from a shower. Brain injuries are crazy, right?
I don't disagree with the possibility at all. I mean,
So when the autopsy came out and the DA said...
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. The DA said there were, see, it's really weird because the headlines say, like, you know, ruled suicide. But what the DA said was there's no sign of foul play or violent death. And that would be pretty obvious in preliminary autopsy results, right? There are no defensive wounds. There are no,
right.
You know, she didn't bite the inside of her mouth. She doesn't have any, you know, skin under her fingernails. She doesn't have, there are things that happen to you when you're trying to defend yourself against a violent attack, and those are not present. Now, that makes perfect sense to me.
There are also things that happen whenever you hang yourself, like, for example, biting your tongue and also biting the inside of your mouth. I mean, and biting your lips. And I mean, you know, you are fucking choking to death. Like, it's not a joke. You know, there's a lot of trauma that goes along with that. And for him to basically be like, yeah, there were no defensive wounds and these things didn't happen, that actually calls my skepticism into play more so than the other part. Because, I mean, had she actually done that, like, there would have been very obvious trauma of a hanging.
Yes, and there's actually no... He said there's no blood vessels burst in her eyes, I think, and I'm like, petechia, and I said, I read that and thought, well, wait a minute, you have that with hanging, too.
It doesn't always happen.
Unless I'm... Right, it doesn't
It doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't, but, like, the absence of that doesn't mean that it didn't happen, you know what I'm saying? Like, it sounded like he was going, oh, well, because there wasn't this and this and this, and then leaping to this thing. I didn't hear anything. Not one word about whether or not she had a head injury. And I'm not sure if the autopsy was even that complete. And that's why I don't know if they've actually ordered an independent one or not. Have you seen whether that got, you know, executed? That needs to be done.
I think it's going to be done, but it'll take probably a couple weeks, so...
Yeah, and the thing is, it was just a weird headline, because that actually doesn't mean that. I'm happy to hear the preliminary autopsy results. Nothing about what he said surprised me. But the conclusion the headlines were drawing doesn't seem to follow. We need to wait until we hear everything that's in there before we start having conversations about how exactly this happened, right?
Right. I would agree. Darb, a lot of information, a lot of great information. You know, but we got to get to Dumb Shit of the Week.
Already.
Seriously, we're there. Like, we got about 6 minutes to go. So, you actually like one of these. I did these almost for you. The last time I said I did one of these for you, you got mad at me and you were like, that wasn't for me. You're a jerk. So, anyway.
I did not say that.
All right. So, first up in Dumb Shit of the Week, now that Republicans are so up in arms over Trump's recent statement about John McCain not being a war hero because he was captured, some of us have been waiting for a decade to hear them apologize for doing even worse to another war hero, John Kerry. Back during the 2004 presidential race between John Kerry and George W. Bush, a group called Swift Boat Veterans for Truth held press conferences and ran ads disparaging John Kerry's military service during the Vietnam War. It was alleged by this group, both in the immediate press and in a book called Unfit for Command, that John Kerry was undeserving of his 3 Purple Hearts and Bronze and Silver Stars. And it's not like this group was working outside the GOP. Oh no, because during the Republican National Convention in 2004, delegates were sporting adhesive stickers with small Purple Hearts on them, implying that Kerry's service and wounds were a fabrication. And during that same year, former Republican presidential candidate Bob Dole went on record saying, John Kerry never bled that I know of, and they're all superficial wounds. Yeah, because no wound is more superficial than taking a piece of shrapnel in the leg after the helicopter you're flying in is hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. Or what Democrats call the non-war version of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Next in Dumb Shit of the Week, if the show What Would You Do is going to air a segment where an atheist yells at a family for praying before a meal, they should also do a segment where Christians try and pass laws that force children to pray in public schools. The difference, the latter actually happens, and the former is based on some weird and unfounded stereotype that says atheists get mad whenever someone prays in public. It's just so ridiculous that the only thing I can think of is that the show's Christian producers probably treat atheists the same way they treat the Bible, and by that I mean they haven't studied either one. And finally, in Dumb Shit of the Week, if conservatives are going to demand that we blindly obey the entities responsible for enforcing our domestic laws and blindly support the entities responsible for enforcing our international policies, then they need to stop using the words small and government together to describe their political philosophy. Let's consider for a moment what conservatives actually support. Things like forcing women to remain pregnant against their will, violating the Fourth Amendment by demanding that people applying for welfare get drug tested, prior to its legalization by the Supreme Court, forcing gay relationships to be a secondary status, the drug war, the war on terror, laws that imprison people for longer periods of time, torture, the Patriot Act, a larger military, laws designed to make it harder to vote, and the death penalty. And what do they consider to be the ideal so-called government? Taxing people who make the most money the least while taxing the people with the least money and opportunity the most. A reduction of regulations on Wall Street and the largest financial institutions, the right for an employer to fire someone for any reason whatsoever. And of course, let's not forget about healthcare while we're at it, where they believe that the best fix to a previously broken healthcare system is to go back to a previously broken healthcare system. None of this shit is actually about small government. Because if conservatives were really interested in small government, they'd want the 2 entities most responsible for domestic and foreign enforcement to be heavily, heavily regulated. They would support the idea that police officers shouldn't have tanks and grenade launchers and do no-knock raids. They would stand up for the idea that someone is innocent until proven guilty. They would be skeptical of the police and the military, because in the grand scheme of things, which could be more problematic? Taxing rich people or regulating those responsible for enforcing or failing to regulate those responsible for enforcing the things that have the most impact on our lives. You know, I've never understood the inconsistencies in the conservative ideology because I actually live in a place called the real world. And to make matters worse, I wonder if those at the top echelons of conservative thought even understand it. You cannot say that you're an advocate of small government while simultaneously calling for the blind support of the entities that use force to enact the government's policies. And if you believe conservatives actually believe in small government, then ask them this question. How am I supposed to enjoy freedom when the same people who tell me how great it is work so hard to ensure that it remains limited? You've been listening to LogicCast. We are on every Thursday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out at blogtalkradio.com/LogicCast. Listen to this episode and all of our previous episodes. You can also find us at facebook.com/LogicCast. I am Jared Smith, my wonderful co-host, Darby Macy, and we will see you next week. Good night, Darb.
Good night.